How you doing? Come on, I like it loud. How you doing? Oh, I love my 11 a.m. friends. I love my 11 a.m.ers that are watching online, including my son, Judah, daughter, Gracie, who probably doesn't understand what I'm saying, and my wife, Kristen. Like a dum-dum, I forgot to leave the car seat for Kristen, so she wasn't super happy. But Judah, look, I guess I'm officially a YouTuber, so what's up, buddy? So everybody, I am honored and I am super grateful to be here this morning. I'm excited to dive into our new series called Elijah. Y'all know what this series is going to be about? Let me hear it. Yeah, Elijah, right? So our big idea for the next 5 weeks is this. The story of Elijah helps us understand the character of God and is an example for us to learn how we can grow in obedience, faith, and courage. So since Pastor Matt's not here, I figured I'd take about 3 to 4 hours and unpack all of that for you all this morning. So buckle up. It's going to be a fun ride. just kidding. That's just my intro. No, if you're lucky, maybe you'll be out of here in like 45 minutes. Who knows? All right, so we're going to jump right in here. Before we go to the scripture, I want to give some context in the story and the perspective of Elijah. So here's what we got going on. So the kingdom of Israel, which was once united under Solomon, that's David's son, is now split. So this is Old Testament. This is after Moses. This is after Exodus. This is after Jericho when the walls fall down. This is after the Promised Land. Why is it split? It's split because of what we would call political unrest. The bigger picture is that sin divides us. So we have the northern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah. There have been dozens of kings over the kingdom of Israel. Check this out. The Bible says they were all evil and wicked. Every one of them evil and wicked. All the kings of Israel did according to the Bible what was evil in the Lord's sight. So up to this point in the Bible, there was none worse than King Ahab. He provoked God the most and did more evil than all generations before. He was married to Jezebel. Some of you might have heard of that name before or heard of the Jezebel spirit. It was seductive and sexual. She had evil prophets that surrounded her. She possessed a spirit of manipulation and witchcraft and control. This is all serious, serious stuff. She killed as many of the Lord's prophets as possible. And on top of that, King Ahab began to bow down in the worship of Baal. That's a false god. So this worship actually included lewd sexual acts, child sacrifice, some really nasty things. And in fact, Baal was a fertility god. So Baal was a fertility god. So those who believed and worshiped Baal believed that Baal had the ability to produce crops and a harvest and also for people to produce children. The Bible says the people provoked the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, with their worthless idols. Keep in mind, these were God's chosen people. These were God's chosen people, all those people that were delivered through those stories that I mentioned before. That's the climate in which Elijah appears. It's actually really difficult to put into words this magnitude of sin coming from God's people. I think it's interesting. There's a lot that we can relate to in this story. Maybe not so much from God's people, but it's interesting what you're going to find out in this story in the context of culture. So we're going to 1 Kings 17, 1 through 7, says this. Now Elijah, who was from Tishbe in Gilead, told King Ahab, "As surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, the God I serve, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give the word." Just a reminder, Baal was said to produce crops, therefore had a strong connection to what happened in terms of rain to produce crops. So that's why rain is the thing that Elijah goes after, if you heard that story before. Verse 2, then the Lord said to Elijah, go to the east and hide by Kereth Brook, near where it enters the Jordan River. Drink from the brook and eat what the ravens bring you, for I've commanded them to bring you food. Okay. So Elijah did as the Lord told him and camped beside Kereth Brook east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and evening, and he drank from the brook. But after a while, the brook dried up, for there was no rainfall anywhere in the land. That's it. Seven scriptures that we're focused on for this first week. Seven scriptures of Elijah. He bursts onto the scene dramatically without a bunch of context. That's it. That's how it starts. The first thing is he went and told the king. He goes directly to King Ahab with a bold statement. And remember that these are God's people worshiping these idols. So this is in completely disregard of the Ten Commandments, specifically the second commandment of the Mosaic Law. So a few verses earlier, just a little bit more context, it's 1 Kings 16:32. It says, first Ahab built a temple and an altar for Baal in Samaria. Then he set up an Asherah pole, which is essentially a sacred tree to honor false gods. He did more to provoke the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, than any of the other kings of Israel before him. So now we go back to verse 1 of 17, and we see that's the context that Elijah, who is from Tishbe in Gilead, told King Ahab, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, the God I serve, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give the word. How about all that for context? Here's your first point and the foundation of this story. Elijah's purpose was to serve God. His purpose was to serve the Lord. And this was not an easy task at this time. But he served the Lord out of this place of love. Serve the Lord out of a place of love for the Lord. So in the New King James, I like the way it puts it. And Elijah, the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. See, Elijah's purpose was rooted in his identity. And his identity was to serve the Lord. He was committed that no matter what was going on around him, he was going to serve the Lord. And the world tells us there's a lot of things that can give us identity. Isn't that the truth? If you look around us, the world will tell us all these certain things will give us an identity. The world tells us there's a lot of ways that we can identify. But let me tell you that the world does not want you to be a follower of Jesus and somebody that serves God, because that is not what the enemy wants for you. The enemy doesn't care who you are. The enemy doesn't care what you do as long as you are not serving the Lord. You were created to love God and love people. And that is what Elijah knew in his heart of hearts, that his purpose was to serve the Lord no matter what was going on around him. And even the Israelites missed this in their worship of false gods. There is only one that gives us identity, and his name is Jesus. He's the one that we just worshiped. He's the one that came and died on a cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Culture today is trying to steal that from us, and he's trying to steal that from our culture. And the enemy was trying to actually steal that from the Israelites back in the day as well. He's trying to steal that from God's people in Elijah's time. But Elijah knew that his identity was in the Lord, and he was there to serve the Lord. I can relate. When I made the decision to follow Jesus, I came from a background of not growing up in church at all. I faintly remember going to Sunday school a couple of times, and I was at the place where I was dealing with crazy bad suicidal thoughts, and I was at the end of my rope. I felt I had nothing to live for. I was a liar and I was a cheat and I had friends, but they didn't know who the real me was. So I went to church one day. Some of you might have heard this story. Went to church one day, made the decision to follow Jesus. And after that, I knew I was a brand new creation, but yet I was still dealing with the stuff that led me to church. I was still dealing with those automatic thoughts and the fear and the anxiety and all those things. And I remember crying out to the Lord one day, and I just said, Jesus, you are all that I'm living for. You are all that I have. I have nothing except for you. You're the only thing that I have. And you know what's funny? Looking back on that now, sometimes we can pray that and it almost sounds like a prideful thing. Like, I don't need anything, Jesus, I just have you. But the reality is when I prayed that, the Lord used that to actually build a strong foundation in my life. Where it was like, Dustin, that's the most powerful thing you can say, and that's just your heart cry. That's the heart that Elijah had, that he didn't care what was in front of him. His identity was in the Lord, and he knew what it was going to take to serve him. Jesus can take that heart cry and build a foundation out of relationship. We are sons and daughters in Christ, and that's where our identity starts, and that's where our identity stops. In Ephesians 1, 4 through 6, it says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Listen to this. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. Can we praise God for grace this morning, worship center? He decided to do it in advance. Ephesians 1:11, it says, furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. These scriptures show in Ephesians, they show us where that identity comes from, that we didn't do anything to deserve it. We just said, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus, use me. And as this story develops over the next few weeks and here for just a little bit longer, you'll see that Elijah's posture in the face of intense opposition and persecution is two things. If you can write them down, jot them down. Unshakable conviction and unwavering devotion. You'll hear about that over the next 5 weeks. Elijah's unshakable conviction and his unwavering devotion. Let's jump back into 1 Kings. Then the Lord said to Elijah, go to the east and hide by Cherith Brook near where it enters the Jordan River. Drink from the brook and eat what the ravens bring you, for I have commanded them to bring you food. So Elijah did as the Lord told him and camped beside Cherith Brook, east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and evening, and he drank from the brook. But after a while, the brook dried up, for there was no rainfall anywhere in the land. Second point today, that's just a crazy story. It actually makes me laugh reading through it so nonchalantly. It's like, could you imagine? Ravens, yeah, I guess if there's Ravens fans in here, that's cool, but maybe not to Steelers fans, but I'm neither, don't worry. I'm not going there. Anyway, point number two, maybe I just went there. Walking in courageous faith starts with obedience. That's a word sometimes people do not like to hear, obedience. It sounds like that religious thing that we need to do, that list we need to get done to get God's approval. But remember Ephesians in the lens of the word obedience. So studying this story, I picked up on this if and then theme throughout Elijah's story. In fact, it's in the New Testament and filled in the Old Testament. Over and over and over, I see if Elijah, did you hear that? If Elijah does this, then I see God showing up. If Elijah does this, then I see God showing up again. So how did he walk in obedience? He was totally committed to the Lord above all else. And how do we know? Because as this story goes on, and what we see here is he kept the Lord close. He kept the Lord close and he heard the Lord's voice. He heard the Lord's voice. We can see that he heard from the Lord. He slowed down and then made a move. He was defined by his obedience. So Elijah did as the Lord told him. It's what you're gonna see. So Elijah did as the Lord told him. If only I did every single time what the Lord told me. If only. That's what obedience is about. So Elijah did as the Lord told him and camped beside Kereth Brook, east of the Jordan. You know, God honors our obedience out of relationship. He honors obedience when we obey out of relationship. Earlier in the story, listen to the value that the Lord places on obedience. This is 1 Kings 11:38. It says, if you listen to what I tell you and follow my ways and do whatever I consider to be right, and if you obey my decrees and commands as my servant David did, then I will always be with you. I will establish an enduring dynasty for you as I did for David, and I will give Israel to you. If, when, and again later in 1 Kings 14, I ripped the kingdom away from the family of David and gave it to you, but you have not been like my servant David, who obeyed my commands and followed me with all of his heart and always did whatever I wanted. Let's jump to the New Testament to see what Jesus thinks about obedience. We're going to go to John 8 and then John 14. A lot of scripture this morning. I might have Pastor Sam beat, apparently. So here we go. New King James, John 8, 29. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. John 14, 31. But I will do what the Father requires of me, so that the world will know that I love the Father. So what does this obedience actually look like? Here's a personal example of what it looks like for me. When I go to the post office or when I'm out in my day-to-day and I hear the whisper of the Holy Spirit that a lot of us can relate to. If I go to the post office and the Holy Spirit whispers to me, pray for that worker. Go ahead, Big Bad Dustin. Pray for that worker. Do I do it? Do I take a step in courageous faith and just love on that person in the same way Jesus loves on them? That's always a test for me. That's always a test for Kristen. Or if I tell somebody that I'm going to pray for them, am I obedient enough to follow through and actually do it? Or could I just do it right there in that moment? What I've realized is that sometimes the reason that I don't want to pray in that moment is because of fear of man. What are they gonna think? What are they gonna think about me? And the reality is, when I go down that train of thought, I can actually make an idol out of fear of man, just like we see in the story of Baal worship and what it looks like for false idols. Living a life out of obedience with the Holy Spirit leads us to those opportunities. It's on us to follow up with them. It's on us to take advantage and do it. So listen to this. When we're obedient out of relationship, the way we define success might look different. Drink from the brook, eat what the ravens bring you, for I've commanded them to bring you food. To me, that's a little bit more gross than it is like, what is success? But Elijah was in the perfect place. He had no thought how the Lord was going to take care of him. He had no thought of what it was going to look like or how he would define success in that moment. Elijah knew that success was loving the Lord and responding to his voice. That's because walking in obedience builds trust in God. I think what's interesting is we don't see Elijah crying out for the Lord's direction. We don't see the Lord, or we don't see Elijah crying out for the Lord's purpose in his life. We just see him taking steps of obedience in that moment. Some of you may relate to my story of not growing up in church. Some of you may not relate because you did grow up in church. But one thing is certain is that we can focus on the importance of relationship with Jesus leading to obedience. Amen? Amen. Simple obedience changes generations. If I look at my story, it's changed generations of our family. If I look at my father-in-law and my mother-in-law's story, it changed generations for their kids. It can change the foundation. One simple yes, one simple step in obedience can change generation for your kids and for your family. Just saying yes to the Lord and walking in that step after step after step. It just might look different than what we expected. Think about that. Being fed by ravens to survive. That doesn't look like God's calling on Elijah's life. A mighty prophet. He shows up at the transfiguration of Jesus later to represent all the prophets, and he's drinking out of a brook and being fed by ravens. He wasn't caught up in his purpose and his direction. He just walked in simple obedience. And listen to this in Luke 11 through 17. Quickly go through this. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks." Listen to this. "He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. And he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with a spirit and the power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." This is a story about John the Baptist. And the angel shows up and says, he will be a man with the spirit of Elijah. With the spirit of Elijah. And I'm here to tell you, we need a church with the spirit of Elijah today. Come on, we need a church with the spirit of Elijah. A church filled with people who possess that spirit every single day, that are committed to serving God, that find their identity in Jesus, that serve from that place, and they're filled with courageous faith out of obedience. It's there for the taking. It's there for the taking, church, walking in pure obedience. The hour is too late to be anything else. The hour is too late to be filled with anything else but a spirit of Elijah, walking slowly, step after step after step with Jesus. It's the best way, even if people might say it's the weird way. Go be a Jesus freak. Come on. 1 John 2:3-6, "And we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commands. If someone claims I know God but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. This is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did." If we truly love Jesus, we'll obey his commands because it's what Jesus wants for us. That's the thing. Let me be the first to tell you, the other way is not worth it. The other way is not worth it. It leads to death and destruction. Jesus's way is worth it. And taking steps to be obedient with Jesus is always worth it. So over the next few weeks, we're going to hear about this journey of Elijah, of a man who bursts onto the scene with a spirit of courageous faith. And it was centered around this conflict between the worship of the Lord and the worship of Baal. And his mission was to awaken the Israelites to their abandonment of belief and to call them back to loyalty to the God of Israel. He was a restorer and a reformer and wanted to reestablish the covenant. And my third and final point, and I truly feel like the Lord wants someone to hear this today. The Holy Spirit is all over it. Obedience is our responsibility, but the outcome is the Lord's. Obedience is ours, the outcome is the Lord's. And here's why you can trust him: because he cares for you. We mess that up so easily. He cares for you so much. Just think back to communion just a few minutes ago. How Jesus poured out his love. He was slaughtered. Jesus is our identity, our security, our provider, and our safety. And we just read seven verses in 1 Kings. God showed up as every one of those things to Elijah. Every single one of them. And as I was preparing for this, you know what the most beautiful part is of this story? I thought to myself, man, these people were so wicked, Lord. And he just had to keep sending prophets over and over and over. And I said, why? And God said, because I wanted to turn their hearts back to me. Yeah, it's about the evil and it's about the wickedness. But God sent prophet after prophet after prophet because he cares. Man, that stirs my heart like crazy. Baal worship was terrible in the Lord's sight. And here shows up Elijah coming to turn the heart of the people back to God because he cares for them and because he loves them. Yeah, you know what? It is weird actually to think about that. How awesome is the Lord that he would care about us so much to do that for the Israelites and to do that for the Gentiles, people that didn't grow up in that knowledge of the Lord. There were 19 evil kings that represented the kingdom of Israel. Every single one of them was evil, according to the Bible. And God still sent prophets time after time after time again because he cares about us. Because he loves you right here also. And I want to reflect on that for a little bit. So if you're able, I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. We're going to go back into worship in just a little bit. But if you're here right now, I feel this urgency to pray. And I feel an urgency that the Holy Spirit wants to turn hearts back to God this morning. So we'll do things just a little bit different if you're used to normal worship center services. If you feel like you need to turn your heart back to Jesus, maybe for the first time or maybe as a recommitment, I want you to come down to the front and I'm gonna pray with you right down here. There'll be a few prayer partners, but come down to the front and I wanna pray with you. If you feel like you need to turn your heart to Jesus. The worship team is just gonna play through a song and I wanna do good old fashioned ministry time. That's how I gave my heart to the Lord. Flip-flopped my way to the front of the altar. If that's you, if you need to make that decision somehow in your heart, come to the altar and pray with me. Jesus, we love you. Have your way right now. And I want to celebrate because there's some people that came down to the front to give their heart to Jesus. So now what we're going to do is we're going to make it official. And this whole church, I want to shout out with me a new believer's prayer. Whether you're saved or maybe you're not saved, we're going to do this together in celebration, all right? All right, so repeat this after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he came to earth, gave his life, shed his blood on a cross for the forgiveness of my sin. I repent of my sin. I believe Jesus rose from the dead. So I can be raised from spiritual death and have eternal life. I believe in my heart and say that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for changing my life. You will never be the same again. I can testify to that. Come on, everybody shout, you will never be the same again. So if you're here and you prayed that for the first time, throw up your hand, or maybe you made a recommitment. Our ushers have a Bible for you. It starts with a foundation and a Bible. The Word of God is the only truth. There's a lot of things that are telling us that it's truth in this world. The Bible is the only thing. Start a foundation there. So raise your hand. They have a Bible for you. Come on, let's celebrate one more time. If you're here and you made that decision to follow Jesus, or you have questions about Worship Center or what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus, make sure that you stop by Connections. There are rooms at the exit of the auditorium. There are people there that would love to talk with you. If you still feel like, oh man, I should have went to the front for prayer, we're gonna have prayer team down front. Please feel free to come up at the end of the service for prayer. Man, one more time, WC sometimes stands for we clap. So let's give some praise to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, it's been an awesome Sunday. Have a great Independence Day weekend. Someone make some brisket for me, okay? All right, let's stay connected throughout the week. Have an awesome week.